Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. During the month of October, we are doing a spooky or scary theme every year because, you know, it's just that time of year. So we are in our second week of our series titled Cursed, and this word has been used a lot throughout time. And so I don't know if you know this about me, but I talk about this quite often. I love movies, and I was recently watching a classic called The Mummy Returns with Brendan Fraser. And it's a series about a mummy, crazy as that is, but it's all about a lost treasure and city with a mummy that's buried there. And they're on this quest to find this city full of treasures. But when they get there, they find all these warnings that have been set all around about how everything here is, you know, it's cursed, and the person that has been buried here is cursed. And it's kind of like this theme throughout the movie that everything is just cursed. And so in this sequel of this movie that I was watching here, they talk about the same things about how it's cursed and all this stuff is happening. And so they're looking for treasure, and the one guy, he's all serious, and he says, "Oh no, we shouldn't be here. This place is cursed." And one of the other guys that's there, he's like, "Why are you just always talking about curses? We're always going on about curses." And then you have the third guy who I relate to, which is probably not a great thing, but he starts walking around looking at everything, and he goes, "It's cursed, and that's cursed, and this is cursed." And that's totally what I felt. It was hilarious. But, you know, when you're watching those movies, they always talk about, hey, everything is so cursed. And so when we're talking about cursed for this sermon series, it just seemed to fit perfectly because we look at our lives and we say, man, I am cursed. But we do have this thought process that when anything goes horribly wrong or doesn't go our way, we think, well, that's it. I'm just cursed. I'm doomed. And I have nothing but bad luck. And so you just say, yep, I am a cursed person. Even though curses are real and we do see them throughout the Bible, that's not what it is. That's not exactly what it's talking about. The problem is, though, we get stuck in this thought process where we think, well, I can never do anything good. I'll never be good enough. Nothing positive is going to happen. Why? Because I'm cursed. And last week, we looked at how we believe that we are cursed by our past, that the things that we were taught as a kid or growing up or even into our adulthood, that we are bound to these things, that we can't change how we think or act, or our lives have been made into this horrible thing because this past is what has cursed us to be what's happening now. And whether they're negative or even sometimes positive things, we just say, well, this is who I am, and there's nothing that I can do about this because I'm cursed with the past or the life that I was given. But this is completely false. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are told that we are made into a new creation, that we are no longer the person that we used to be, that the person who we were is now dead and gone, and that we are to live completely new for God. We have this clean slate forever. All those things that we lived for before, we know that they will not fulfill. That the old way of thinking, that was the way of the world, the way they told us how to live, that we can't do that anymore. And it's time for us to set our hearts and our minds to things above. That we are to follow God's lead. That we're to follow His teaching. To jump in to the Word of God, to the Bible, and understand what He's trying to teach us and show us. To start new as a child of God. And this week, we're going to be looking at how we feel that we are cursed by our sins. Now, I know that this can kind of roll into like cursed by your past because, you know, we have sin that is in our past, but we're going to be completely truthful here. We all have sin in our future as well. As long as we are still here, there is a problem that we have where we're going to fall short. But the problem arises when we say that our sins are what hold us back. It's that it's something that we're just doomed to repeat. I'm never going to be good enough. It's a never-ending loop of failure. One thing that God has been working on in my heart over the last 4 months is this crazy word called righteousness. And righteousness means that we are holy. that we have been completely washed clean of our muck and our sin. And one of the things that we say over and over again is that we are nasty, we are disgusting, that we are broken, that we are dirty sinners who are doomed to repeat our sins. And while you are not wrong that we do sin, the truth is, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you have accepted Him as God, that He lived here and that He died on the cross for you, that He rose from the grave, then I have to tell you something that is so important. You are not cursed by your sins. And you're going to have that big question. Why? Well, it's because you've been made holy by God. You have been made righteous. And I don't just mean until you mess up or sin again. Well, I've been washed clean of my sins except for the one I'm about to commit later. No, that's not what it says. I mean you are righteous and holy till the day you die. We get stuck in this thought process that we're not righteous. No, that we are definitely cursed with this sin, that we are doomed to never be enough. And there are some verses that we actually read here, and if you take them out of context and we look at how we're sinners, we sit there and go, see, look, I am doomed. I read it right here. But we have to break that thought process because that's not right. And so we're going to go ahead and turn to Romans 7. Romans 7, 14 through 25. Romans 7, 14 through 25. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows, and we have a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. Now, before we get into these verses, I want to talk about who is talking here and what the context of what he is talking about, because it's very important, because when all of this was written, we have to remember that the author, Paul, was speaking to people who are far from God. Those who do not know God, which they are called Gentiles, but you also have to understand a huge group of people that Paul was talking to are the Jewish people. The Jewish people would have known and tried to live out what we call the Old Testament, which they called the Law. The Law is God's commands, and there was a whole different set of rules to follow the Law. But now that Jesus has come, we have to understand that the Law has been fulfilled, okay? Not broken, not burned up, not saying, well, the law doesn't matter anymore, don't worry about it. No, that it was complete, that it was made whole, that it was fulfilled completely. And now that the law is completely kept through God's Son, Jesus, you still have to understand, yes, we are still people, and we are still struggling to follow God. And so, we're going to go ahead and read Romans 7, 14 through 25. This is what it says. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So I know we start that out, and it can be really confusing when you read it, because it's like, I do not do the things I do do that I do not do what? What am I doing? And that's kind of where we get lost. So yes, we're going to break down everything that's being said here. But here we see Paul says the law. Right? God's word that we just talked about, the Old Testament, God's commands. He says it is spiritual. He says, it is good. It is from God. But in the very next line, Paul says it all. He says, but me, as a person, he says, I'm unspiritual. He says, I am a slave to sin. Think of it this way. When you look at the commandments of God, and you look through all of them, we can all point out at the commands that we have not followed. It's very easy for us to do. Even if we just go to the Ten Commandments. Well, lying. Okay, yeah. Some of us struggle with that. Stealing. Yeah, we can have those issues. Lusting definitely is there. Filled with rage. Yeah. Dishonored your parents. Yeah. Murder. Just looking around to see if anybody is like, oh, that's me. I'm struggling because, you know, we definitely, yeah, you in the back. We'll have to talk about that later. But it's one of those where you look at those and we say, yeah, I've broken the law. And we know that. We all have broken the law. If anything, we all have broken God's commands daily. If not, multiple times a day. So I saw this really funny picture on Facebook and it said, thank you, God, that I have not sinned today. Now please allow me to keep this trend as I get out of bed this morning. And I think a lot of us feel that. We're like, oh yes, good day, new day, ready to start. Haven't messed anything up now. I haven't struggled with anything. Okay, time to get out of bed, you know? And because we know that the day can be filled with struggles. And because we struggle with sin. We struggle to do what is right. And we see here, this is exactly what Paul is saying. Verse 15, he says, I do not understand what I do. And he says, because the things that I actually want to do, the things that I try to do that I know are good, he says, I don't do those things. Those things that I know are pleasing to God. Why am I struggling to do those things? And when I read this, I get that. In my heart, I say, I want to serve you, Lord. I want to be close to you. I want to give you my all today. And then when my computer blows up, I'm just like, oh, why, God? Why? I'll try not to be filled with rage. It's okay. Things happen. And I'm like, not today, Satan. You're not getting it from me today. And I'm driving home and my car battery dies. And I'm like, ah, okay, fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's not a big deal. Things happen. And then I finally get home after my computer blows up and I finally got the battery in my car and my kid starts mouthing off to me. And I'm like, it's fine. Children, our children, I need to teach them, love them. It won't be a big deal. And so I'm like, okay, it's fine. Not a big deal. And then the dog comes right in front of me and goes to the bathroom on the floor. And at that moment, I've had those moments where, you know, I could tell my eyes are crazy. I got like a little twitch going. I can feel it right here. And I'm like, ooh, I'm so mad. And I might break some thought processes about me, and I'm sorry that if you have this, you know, illusion that I am pure in those moments, my thoughts are not pure at all. And I become short and snappy with my wife and my kids. I've lost focus on how amazing God is. I've lost focus on how much I want to serve Him. I've lost focus on living for Him completely. And this is what Paul was talking about. All those things I know that I should be doing, the world starts happening and my mind starts to go down to this bad place and I'm no longer focusing on you and I am no longer saying, yes, God, I love you and I want to follow you because I'm having to deal with all of this craziness in my life. But then we get the second half of that verse. But the things that I am doing, those are the things that I hate. Those things that you say in your life or you go and do something and you sit back afterwards and you go, why? Why did I do that again? We say, man, I failed again. And we say, I'm cursed to do this sin over and over again. And I can't just seem to do any good. It's only the bad. And then we spiral and we just start to say, well, look at me. I'm horrible. Well, look at me. I'm just a nasty, disgusting sinner. I'm just filled with this guilt and shame. And we'll get back to that part in a little bit. But those are the thought processes that we do. We go, I am doomed and cursed. I am disgusting and nothing. And then we get to verse 16 here. And it says, and if I do what I do not want to do, It does show me something, though. When I'm falling, when I'm failing, when I feel terrible for those things, it shows me that the law is good, that God's commands, they are pure and holy. The problem, though, is not in God's commands. It's not the things that He's asked of us. The problem is in our ability to follow them. And as we keep reading through what Paul is saying, he keeps making that point that, man, I keep messing up. He says, my sinful ways, my sinful desires, those things that I just can't seem to break away from, I just have this struggle that's never going to end. And verse 21 is where we just say, yes, Paul, like if he was up here preaching it, I imagine we'd say, amen, brother, preach it some more. You're preaching right to me. He says, although I want to do good, evil seems to be right there with me. This is the curse that we feel is just all consuming. This is what we feel is the curse of sin. Not just the sins that we've committed, but the sins that we feel have a chokehold on us. The sins where we feel like we're never going to be free. And it's reiterated again in verse 23. He says, I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin. But this isn't the end of what Paul says. He doesn't just leave it there. Verse 24, Paul says, what a wretched man I am. He's recognizing. He's saying, I am struggling. I'm not doing well. What a horrible, wretched man I am. And then he has a question. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And we have that question. Why am I such a screw-up? I'm never going to be good enough for God. I will never do enough good. I am just the worst. And we think as Christians, we should never fall. We think as Christians and followers of Christ, we should never fail. We should never make a mistake. And when we do, we start this self-loathing of guilt and shame. But what's amazing, Paul wasn't done there. He wasn't finished. Paul is just getting everyone to relate. To relate to this list here of why do I keep messing up? Why do I do the things that I hate? But I don't do the things that I know are good and that I love, that we keep falling short on. And so we're all with him and we're like, yes, Paul. But then we get to verse 25. And he says, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for saving me through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for defeating and deleting my sin. Thank you for not holding all those times that I broke the law or will break the law against me. And you may be asking, but what does that really mean? And we're going to turn to the next chapter. If you read Romans 8:1, so it led all the way up to this, and then so we're just going to keep continuing. Romans 8:1, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He started with therefore, meaning everything that I've told you is coming to a point right here. He says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Stop trying to earn grace. Stop beating yourself down and thinking you are a disgrace. Stop trying to pass judgment on yourself and on others. When someone is condemned, because he says there is no condemnation, it says condemnation, it's a sentencing, it's a judgment that is followed with punishment for your acts. And so when you read this again, I want you to read it again and again and again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me say it one more time. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you know Jesus Christ is Lord, you have accepted Him, that He has died for your sins, that He is God, guess what? You are not condemned. Guess what? Yes, you were guilty. You broke the law. And you will break the law later. But Jesus said, I have already paid the price for your sins. He already paid for it. One of the greatest things that was asked of me was this. They said, do you believe that the Bible is true? And I said, well, yes, of course. I felt like that was kind of a dumb question, but it's not, because it's a very great question to start. Do you believe the Bible is true? Yeah. Yes, I do. Okay. Do you believe that everything that it says is from God? And I'm kind of like, well, yeah. Yes, I do. And then they asked me this. So when Jesus said, it is finished, meaning that he paid the price for your sins on that cross, do you believe that he actually covered all of your sins? Or do you think that Jesus was lacking in power? And I'm like, that's not really what you want to think about, is that, well, Jesus didn't finish paying for my sins on the cross. That I need to finish the work, right? You know, I need to earn that little bit of grace. I need to make sure that I take care of where he wasn't able to do the job. No, that's not what's happening here. When he died on the cross, he died for all of my sins. He wasn't lacking in power. And so the question comes, then, if he paid for all of our sins, why do we still live and think that we are cursed by our sin? Why do you act like you need to suffer for your sins? That you need to pay for the things that you've done wrong? That doesn't make any sense. And when I was talking to this person, he said, read Romans 8:1, which I'm reading with us now. And he said, stop trying to cheapen what Jesus did on the cross. Flat out, there is no condemnation. There is no punishment for your sins. And that means all of them. Stop living in fear of your sins. Stop saying that it has a hold on you, because it does not. It is time to start living like you are in love with the King of the universe. It is time to start living like you know that there is a God who loves you so much that while you were still a sinner, while you were still living against him, he paid the price for all of those sins, every single last one of them that you will commit on this earth. For some reason, that thought process as a Christian is, well, I went and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I was baptized, and so Jesus has forgiven me of my sins from this point backwards. What? Why is it only from this point backwards? That makes no sense. Jesus died for all of my sins. That means the ones that I'm presently struggling with, the ones that I've done in the past, and the ones that I will do in the future. But do not be confused here, okay? And think, well, I guess then I should just keep on sinning. Because why not? God's going to forgive me anyways, right? And so we read here from Paul as well. He says, so should you keep on sinning so that the grace may increase? Flat out, Paul says, by no means. Like, don't do that. That makes no sense. And so I like to make it a little more relatable today. So you're telling me that you know that God is real. You're telling me that God loves us and he sacrificed everything for us. And you're saying you love him so much, but you're going to try and hurt him on purpose just so you can chase other things? That's not love. That's not how that's supposed to work. You know that God is real and that he died for you and that he gave you everything. And you're saying, yeah, that's wonderful. And I love him too, but I like to have fun and do other things more. That doesn't make any sense. But you have to understand that once you've accepted him, you know he's real. You're going to try to follow him. You just can't help it. But when you do mess up, guess what? God has still made your soul holy. You are still righteous. Those sins have already been forgiven. You are not cursed by your sins, but instead you are redeemed from them. Stop living in shame. Stop living like you are guilty, because you already have been set free. And I want to go over just a couple quick verses, not too many verses, but there are a lot in here that talk all about this. We're going to start with Psalm 103, verse 12. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. If you don't know, the east and the west, they will never touch. They will never see each other. And we are told that our sins have been removed so far from us that they will never return. They will never meet. It's already been paid for. It's already been forgiven. Hebrews 8:12. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. I would love to go into a huge explanation of this, but it's very simple. You were awful. You did terrible things. We have sinned against God. That is true. And guess what? God says once you accept His Son, Jesus, He will remember your sins no more. All of them gone. And then we have Acts 3:19. It says, repent and then turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That's saying, go to God, know that He is true, accept Him, and look at your sins. Because guess what? He's already wiped them out. They are gone. Go and sin no more. But when you do, which you will, they have already been forgiven. But I love the end of that, because when you go to Him, it says, God will refresh your soul. You will be refreshed. And it's because the weight has been taken off of you. It's not about being good enough. It's not about never sinning again. It's about trying to follow God with all of who you are and then knowing that you've already been forgiven and redeemed. And that's what brings me to the challenge for today. Yes, we all have sinned and fall short of what God has wanted for us and from us. But the more amazing part is God saved you anyways. Now it's time to stop giving the power to our sins. It's time for us to stop saying, well, there's nothing I can do about it, and now I'm just going to live with guilt and shame because I'll never measure up. It's time to start giving the power, your thoughts, and your efforts, and love to the One who has created all. Because you're not cursed. You are blessed. One of the things that I have to remind myself over and over and over again is the Lord loves me. I am redeemed. I am holy. I am righteous. And I am forgiven of my present sins, my past sins, and my future sins. Thanks be to God who has saved me. I pray that you can have that same understanding and that you can say, I am free, that I am not cursed by my sinful nature, but that I am blessed because I have a God who loves me so much that He's forgiven all of that. And I don't have to live for that anymore.
We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.